Look with me to Ephesians first chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Skip down to verse 5. "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Go down to verse 8. "For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." Aren't you thankful for grace? God saved our life. We were dead, but He made us alive in Christ. The title of my message today, A Transformed Life. Have you ever met someone and thought, this person is different? Not the same person he or she used to be. Maybe it was someone who once struggled with anger, but now walks in patience. Or someone who felt lost, but now lives with purpose. Or someone used to act or live a life of the world, and now that person is living for God. That's a changed life. Ephesians 2 gave us a really good picture of how we live our life before come to Christ. It says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He made us alive with Christ. It's not about our own work. It is a gift of God. Transformation is powerful. It captures our attention. Because when you see someone changed, you notice that. We will look at this powerful passage, a powerful testimony in the Word. But I want you to know that lasting transformation doesn't come from our own effort alone. It comes when God steps into our lives and begins to reshape us from the inside out. That is transformation, transform life. The Bible reminds us that transformation is not just about changing habits. It's about a changed heart, a renewed mind, and a new identity. When God transforms life, He doesn't just improve it, He makes it new. So today, we're going to explore what it truly means to live a transformed life. What it looks like, how it happens, and how each and every one of us can experience that. Are you guys familiar with the movie Transformer? This is not PBS, but I asked the question, why they call Transformer Transformer? And it's because the robot turns into a car, a jet, or a truck. I love it when it turns to robot because it looks strong. But when God transformed life from death to life, inside, when God changed life, He changed from the inside out. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. In this you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This is a very powerful testimony from a man who can tell you all about transformation. Can you open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 9? I'm sorry, guys. This is all introduction here. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Verse 7, then men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Skip down to verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Can you imagine that? In verse 1, he was breathing threats and murder against the disciple of the Lord, and now he wants to join them. That is transformed life. How can be a persecutor turn into a preacher? The life that changed from inside out. Do you want to transform life? Do you want to change? You want your heart to change? Let me tell you the key. The key is this: run to Jesus. The key is this: you don't have to fix yourself before coming to Jesus. Just come as you are. The song, come unto Jesus, all who are weary. Come to mercy seat, fervently kneel. Bring your wounded hearts, broken and needy. Come unto Jesus, mighty to save. I love every part of our service today. I was just singing. I just fellowship, shake hand. Showing each other what's done in our life. I love Sunday. You know why? Because when we meet together as a family of God, last Sunday was beautiful. Sunday night, we gather in the FLC, in the Family Life Center, and just enjoy the fellowship or the bellyship. We enjoy the food also. But you know what? Let's look at our passage today. My favorite story in the Bible, Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark. Now we're in the message. Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea. You all know that it's just right after the storm. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of a tomb, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I assure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us inter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and those who had sent it described to them that had happened to the demon-possessed man. Verse 17, and they began to beg Jesus to depart their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged them, and he might be healed with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marvel. You see, in verse 3, this man, he lived among the tomb. No fun. But you know what? Our surroundings often reveals the condition of our heart, because you love to hang out where you wanted your company. Imagine living among the tombs or with the dead people. Bones. And this man felt so comfortable. I love the place. This is where I belong. Our surroundings often reveals the condition of our heart. This man is living among the tomb in darkness. The man was physically alive, but you know the problem? There you go. Spiritually dead. He was surrounded by death. He was surrounded by darkness. Without Christ, people can be living but not truly alive inside. And not only that, but he was isolated from the community. This man, he was isolated from the community. Living among the tombs means separation from family, society, and community. Sin and brokenness often push people into loneliness and isolation. The enemy wants to disconnect us from God and from others. In John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Look at that passage with me. Verse 4. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. I don't think this man is normal. Because they love to chain him up. If this man is normal or human, normal human being, I don't think he would be tied with chains. And it says in that passage in verse 5, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. It's not like when the kids are making noise in the house and you say, just go out and play in the playground. Or it's because too much sweet or too much ice cream. This guy is not that it's too much ice cream. He was out of his mind. Not only that, but it says in verse 5, he would harm himself. He will take a sharp stones and cut himself with it. This story and this passage tells us that this man has a real problem. His problem is his heart. Without Jesus. I tell you, we're going to look at it. What it looks like. How it happened. And how each and every one of us can experience that. In verse 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Is your life transformed? Aren't you thankful that you saw Jesus? You found Jesus in the first place? I love the song Amazing Grace. You know what it said? I once was blind, but now I see. He recognized Jesus from afar. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. He recognizes Jesus from a distance. Brothers and sisters, no matter how far you feel spiritually, you still see and turn toward him. From among the tomb, with the death, the dark, he recognized Jesus and ran. Know what that passage said? When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran. Run toward Jesus, not away. No matter how far you feel spiritually, you can still see and run toward him. Run toward Jesus, not away. In your struggles, in your lostness, come to Jesus. You know why? Because John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
We were spiritually dead, but now we're alive. Why? Because of Jesus is the way, the truth, and life.
My friends, where you're at spiritually? This man, he recognizes Jesus from a distance. He ran toward Jesus. But not only that, but you know what he did? Surrender. It says in that passage. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Surrender in humility before Christ. Remember, true transformation begins when you bow your life in submission to Christ. Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." True transformation begins when you bow your life in submission to Christ. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Lay down your burdens. He is enough. Come unto Jesus. Rest in His love. Look at verse 15 with me. And they came to see what it was that had happened. Oh, they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion. What happened to the man now? Sitting. Not jumping around, not running around, not crying, but sitting. The one who had the legion was sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The untamable is now sitting. Jesus alone that brought peace to a restless life. I wonder why this man was away in the tomb. And it says in the passage that they tried. They chained him often. They chained him, but he broke them apart. Jesus stood up. "What is your name?" This man, as we saw in the passage, that he came to Jesus, he recognized Jesus. Jesus is more than what's lived inside me. I bow my life to Jesus. I surrender my life to Jesus. And now, sitting. Not only that he was sitting down, but it says in a passage, the one who had the legion was sitting there, clothed. That was a big problem in the tomb, huh? Now, he's clothed. The naked is now clothed. Jesus restored dignity and identity. I don't know what you're going through in your life, struggle, but we need to come out and run to Jesus and fell before Him. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had legion, sitting there clothed, and he in his right mind. So the uncontrollable is now in his right mind.
The one that at night he will cry out with a loud voice and take the sharp stones and cut himself. Now he's sitting still, he's clothed and in his right mind. Jesus restored his mind and self-control. Nowhere else. Jesus. My friends, that is a transformed life. How's your life today? Skip down to verse 18 with me. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged them that he might be with him. The person that was away from the community, doesn't want to live with people. Now his mind and he wanted to go with Jesus. I just wanted to add it to this now that, you know what? Not only that he was with his right mind, he was clothed and sitting still, but you know what changed inside this man now? His desire. I don't want to live in the tomb anymore. Jesus, can I go with you? Can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. No, because it's not only just change our life, but he gave us a mission. Study with my Bible study guys on Wednesday night. And I read this book from Pastor Gary, Define Purpose, right? So I read this book and then this is what it said. Your ministry is your service to believers. Your mission is your service to unbelievers. This man now is on mission. Jesus said, oh, don't come with me. It says in the passage, look at it in verse 19. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. The demon-possessed man, his desire changed after encountering Jesus. Instead of living among the tombs, he now desired to be with Jesus. He lived in the dead and isolation, wandered among tombs, hurt himself, and was controlled by demons. After the encounter with Christ, he wanted to be with Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. You know what transformed look like? Transformed life look like? They love to follow Jesus. They love the Word of God. They love fellowship. My friends, as children of God, let's follow his example. As Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jesus said, go home to your friends and family and tell them what the Lord has done. Let me tell you, my friends, our community need our testimony. Go home to your family and friends and tell them what the Lord has done. Tell them what the Lord has done inside of you, in your heart, in your life. And it says in that passage, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled, amazed. Whoa! The man who lived among the tombs, the one we've been trying to tie him up, now he's here telling us Jesus is the way, the truth, and life.
That is a transformed life. Just imagine this. You're in town. Now the man who loves to harm himself and he's walking around with chains and the people have been trying to tie him up. And then now he's coming down in town and telling people Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know what I'm going to do?
Charis, my daughter, right? Lucas, my son, right? You know what I'm going to say? Run! He's coming!
But he's coming in town with different purpose. He's on mission. That is a transformed life. You know what? The proof of transformation is not just being delivered by Jesus. It is following him with a changed life. He saved us. He wants us to go and tell others what Christ has done. See, our community needs our testimony. Let's go and tell people what the Lord has done. Let's live our life, a life that is transformed by Christ. Live a transformed life. Every day in our life. We are not dead in our trespasses and sins. He made us alive in Christ. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us. He came to save us. Christ Jesus. And you bow your head with me, we're going to pray. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you that Christ love each and every one of us. He came, changed our life. He came to die on that cross for us. Father, we live among the tombs. We live in the world, as you said in your word. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, Lord, but you made us alive. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you that you say in Ephesians, it's not by our works. That doesn't save us. What saves us is Jesus, that he's the way, the truth, and life. Thank you that it's not about our religion. It's about our personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for your love that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us and save us from our sins. And Lord, today, as a church family, brothers and sisters, we want to give our life and we want to live our life for purpose, for mission, to reach the souls, the lost for Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.